Welcome to Gemara Markings. Today's shiur is Chulin Daf Ayin Ches. Don't forget to click on the Daf option in order to view a marked Daf Gemara for today's shiur. If you are not fully familiar with our Gemara marking system and wish to benefit from its great rewards, it is essential that you study all of the introductory material accessed by clicking on the Learn the System option provided on the sidebar of our homepage. If you are already partially familiar, you will benefit by clicking on the brief, formatted introduction that is available here. Being that our system is a visual approach to the Daf Gemara, it is recommended that you print out the Daf before the shiur, and even better, order your personal volume of this Maseches. Our address is gmarkings@gmail.com. Today we begin the fifth perek of Chulin, perek Oisoi ve'es Benoi. The Torah tells us that one is not allowed to shecht a mother and its offspring on the same day. The Mishnah itself covers numerous cases in which we feature the prohibition of Oisov Espino in the realm of Chulin, common animal, common meat, and the realm of Kotchim, sacrificial meat. We will see many examples in the Mishnah. Some of them have, in fact, combined where the mother is of one variety and the offspring another, namely one is Kotchim and one is Chulin. Let us now turn to the Mishnah, in which we will see numerous examples. Before actually reading the Mishnah, we might want to take note of the topic heading in the outside margin, Oisoi ve'espinoi noheg b'chulin uve'mukdashim. As we said, this prohibition of shechting mother and offspring on the same day applies to the common animal, chulin, and sacrifices, mukdashim. We will also be using in the Mishnah itself a double underline as one of our markings, and that's featured under our Mivneh heading, the structural note that you see also in the outside margin. The double underline will feature the words Bachutz and Bifnim. Bachutz will refer to outside the Beis HaMikdash, and Bifnim in the Azora of the Beis HaMikdash. The Mishnah. Oisoi ve'espinoi noyeg bein baretz bein b'chutz laretz. The prohibition of Oisoi ve'espinoi applies whether be in the land of Israel or outside of Israel. Bifnei habayis v'shelo bifnei habayis, during the time of the Beis HaMikdash and also during the time of post Beis HaMikdash period, the time in which we are now, the Churban HaBayis. Bechulin uvumukdashim. Osav Espino applies to common meat and to sacrificial meat. Ketzad. Now, the Mishnah provides examples. Hashoichet Osav Espinoi chulin bachutz. If one slaughters mother and offspring, both of which are chulin, outside of the Beis HaMikdash, Shnehem Ksherim, both one will be able to eat. It may be pointed out that Osov Espino is a type of violation that one is not allowed to shecht both the same day, but if one does, it doesn't prohibit the eating of the meat per se. In other words, as a result of the violation of Osov Espino alone, there is no prohibition in eating the meat. Something wrong was done, but that's it. It doesn't go as far as prohibiting the meat. So if you violated Osov Espino, both are kosher as far as eating. Vasheni Sofek Ezraboyim. The second one to be slaughtered, whether it had been the mother or the offspring, that will generate the penalty of lashing, 40 lashings. Technically speaking, it's really 39 lashings. Kotchim Bachutz. The two animals that were shechted, mother and offspring, were done outside the Beis HaMikdash. Horishon Chayev Kores, for slaughtering the first one, which was a sacrifice destined for the Beis HaMikdash, but having shechted it outside the Azora, he becomes Chayev Kores. And that's a very severe penalty that is that constitutes punishment for shchutei chutz. Ushnehem psulim. Both of them, will not be allowed to eat. They're both sacrifices slaughtered in the wrong place. Ushnehem soifkin esarboim. And both of them will generate the lashing penalty. The first one, for having violated the negative command of slaughtering korbanos outside the Beis HaMikdash. And the second one is the one for which he is in violation of Osov Espino, namely slaughtering parent or child the same day as the other. Chulin bifnim, two animals, mother and offspring, were shechted, even though they were mundane, they're common meat, they were slaughtered in the Azorah. There is a prohibition of slaughtering chulin in the Azorah. Shnehem psulin, both one will not be allowed to eat. Chulin b'Azorah is one of those kinds of violations that renders the meat unfit. V'hasheni sofeg esarboyim. The slaughtering of the second one is the one in which the Osov Espino violation took place. There is no lashing for chulin b'Azorah, though. Kochim bifnim. Both of them are kochim, and they were done in the Azorah. Harishon kosher upoter. The first one is the right thing to have done. You're supposed to slaughter a sacrifice inside, in the Azorah. So it's kosher, and there's no violation. Vasheni sofeg esar boim uposel. The second one, namely the offspring or the mother, whichever it was slaughtered in the Azorah. So, being that he was slaughtering it and violating Osov Espino, he is going to be Chayev Malkus Arboim, and Posel, it's called Posel because of something called Mechuser Zman. You should not have done it this day. You should have waited till the next day. Doing something at the wrong time or prematurely is called Mechuser Zman, and that renders it unfit as a sacrifice. Chulin v'kotshim b'chutz. It's pointed out the order of the words is important. First chulin, and then kotshim, and they were both done outside. And of course, it's another example of Osov Espino. Harishon kosher poter. The first one, which was common meat, was slaughtered outside. That's fine. That's what it's supposed to be. V'hasheni, the second one, was a kochim animal, and it was done outside. So the sheni is sofeg esarboyim uposel. He's chayev malchus for the violation of Osov Espinoi, and it's unfit because it's a sacrifice that was done outside. It may be noted, though, that there is no kores for shchutei chutz. The rule that accompanies shchutei chutz, the slaughtering of sacrifices outside the Beis HaMikdash, says that there is kores only for something that you could have brought inside. In other words, that the only problem is the location. But in this case, in addition to the location problem, there is also a time problem, because that day you couldn't have slaughtered the second animal, being that it's called Mechuser Zman by virtue of the fact that you had previously on the same day slaughtered its mother or its offspring. Kochim v'chulin b'chutz. You have a sacrifice, that's the first animal to be slaughtered, and chulin, both done outside. Harishon chayev kores. The first one, being that the offspring or the mother wasn't shechted yet, so the first one was something that could have been brought in the Azorah, but he didn't. He brought it outside. Therefore, there is a chiv kores, uposel, and it's unfit. Vahasheni kosher. The second one, the chulin animal, which he did outside, that's the right place to do chulin. The only problem is that it was done the same day, it was slaughtered the same day as the previous animal, which was kochim b'chutz. So, v'asheni kosher, u'shneim soifkin esar boyim. Both of these generate a chiyuv malchus. The first one is a kochim b'chutz problem, which is a negative violation, and the second one is in violation of Osov Espino. Chulin v'kotshim bifnim. Here you have two animals. The first one was chulin, the second one to be shechted was kotshim, and they're both done in the Azorah. Shneim psulin, they're both unfit. The first one is unfit because it's chulin ba'azorah. The second one is unfit because it's done b'mechusar zman. It's done as an osov es beno. Vasheni sofa yisra boyim, the second one, namely the kachim one, done as an osov es beno, will generate a malkos penalty. We see that chulin ba'azorah is, though a prohibition, it doesn't generate a penalty of malkos, punishment. Kachim v'chulin bifnim, two animals, one kachim, the offspring or mother was a chulin, and in this order they were done in the Azorah. Harishon kasher upater, the first one is fine, it's a korban and it's supposed to be done in the Azorah. Vasheni sofeg yisra boyim upasul, the second one happened to be a chulin and it was its son, it's the offspring or the mother of the kachim, and it was done in this, but it was done as chulin in the Azorah. So there's a chiyuv malchus because of the oso vespino violation. Chulin bachutz ubifnim, two animals, an oso vespino, first one was done outside and the second one in the Azorah. Harishon kosher upoter, the first one was a chulin outside, that's the right thing to do, and therefore it's kosher and there is exemption, there's no violation. Vasheni sofeg yisra boyim upasul, the second one, which was a chulin done in the Azorah, it's not allowed to be eaten, being that it was a chulin done in the Azorah, and there's malchus for osov es beno. Kachim bachutz ubifnim, two animals, mother and offspring, both of them holy, sanctified, one done, the first one done outside and the second one inside in the Azorah. Harishon chayev kores, that's the punishment for kachim bachutz. Ushneim soifken esar boyim, ushneim psulim, both generate malkos, the first one because of the negative command of shchitas chutz, of slaughtering korbanos outside the Azorah, and the second one is an oisov espino problem, and they're both pasul. You can't eat the kachim b'chutz, and you can't eat the chulin that was done bifnim. Chulin bifnim ubachutz, two animals that are both chulin. The first one done in the Azorah, and the second one, which is in violation of Osos Beno, was done as chulin outside. Harishon pasul upoter, the first one, which was chulin in the Azorah, is pasul. One cannot eat it. Poter, there's no malchus. V'hasheni sofeg yisra boyim v'kosher, the second one, which was chulin outside the Azorah, is kosher to be eaten. And there is malchus for having violated osov es beno. And finally, kachim bifnim ubachutz. You have sacrifices, one mother, one offspring. And the first one was done bifnim in the Azorah, and the second one bachutz. Harishon kosher upoter, the first one was the way it should be done, kachim bifnim. Vasheni sofeg yisra boyim upasul, the second one was a kachim done bachutz. There's a malchus of 40 lashes, 39 technically, and it's pasul. It cannot be eaten. It's a case of kachim dan bachutz. Now, there's no kores for this, because being that it was done as an osov es beno, it was mechusar zman. And as we said before, the chiyuv kores for kachim bachutz is only for something that could have been brought in at that moment inside. And this could not have been brought inside. We have a topic heading in the outside margin, the Nosei, Minayin de Osov es beno noheg be mukdashim. From where do we know that the Osov es beno violation applies to sacrificial animals as well? And you can see that we have the next five lines of Gemara in a frame. This indicates that we are about to learn a Tanaic source. In our Gemara markings, one of the prominent features of our marking system is our attempt to frame off almost all of the Tanaic sources that the Gemara quotes. Tana Rabbanan, minayin lo isav es benoi shenoyeg b'mukdashim. From where do we know that the penalty or the restriction of slaughtering on the same day mother and offspring applies to sacrificial animals as well? Talmud Lomar, the Pasuk says, Shor o kesev, o eiz, ki ivoleid, and the Pasuk mentions Yerotzeh lekorban. This is talking about animals that are fit to be brought as sacrifices. Uksiv basrei, and following that Pasuk it says, Shor v'shor oseh, oisoi v'esbeno lo sishchatu biyom echad. So, within the proximity, you have these two psukim. One is Vayikra Chav Beis Pasuk Chav Zayin, the other one Pasuk Chav Ches. The Oso Vismino coming on the heels of the Pasuk describing Korbanos. Limeid Al Oso Vismino Shinoheg B'mukdashim. So this shows us that Oso Vismino is binding with regard to sacrificial animals as well. Question: V'emo B'mukdashim in B'chulin Lo. Maybe we should suggest that Oso Vismino is restricted to sacrificial animals and not to common meat. The Gemara answers that we're not going to say. Shor hifsik ho'inyan. The word shor in the Oso Vismino Pasuk serves to block Oso Vismino from being restricted to kochim. Question: V'emo b'chulin in b'mukdashim lo. Now that you're saying that shor blocks the flow of the psukim, maybe then oso v'no is not related to mukdashim whatsoever, and it's only within the realm of chulin, the mundane. The Gemara answers: K'siv v'shor. The pasuk introducing oso v'sbeno, and you can see it just above, says v'shor o kesef, and that's preceded by a vav. The Vav is a letter that creates a bonding. If that being the case, the previous Pasuk was talking about Korbanos, and there's a connection between that and the Oso Vespino Pasuk through the word Vishor. Question. This section of Gemara has a long question, or a couple of aspects to the question, and it continues till the second line from the top of Omid Beis. Ima kochim kilayim lo. If we are going to use these psukim to show that Oso Vismino is noheg by mukdashim, well then, if it's so, as we know that kochim, that's kilayim. In other words, if one were to take a goat and a sheep and mate them, the result is a kilayim, a mixed breed. And such an animal is not fit to be dedicated as a sacrifice. So the Gemara says, Ima kochim kilayim lo, if just like by kochim you say kilayim is not included as a possibility for a korban, Afoso vespino, kilayim lo. So then say the same thing, that oso vespino, which includes kochim, will not be violated if you're dealing with an offspring that's a mixed breed. Well, aloma tanya, so then why do we have a source that says oso vespino noheg bikilayim uvekoi? That the violation of Oso Vismino covers Kilayim and the Koi. Koi will be discussed later on as to what it is. But for our purposes, we're focusing right now on Kilayim. So that's one question. That if, on the one hand, you say that we connect the Parsha of Oso Vismino to Mukdashim, well, just like in the case of Mukdashim, Kilayim is excluded, so too, you should say that with regard to Oso Vespino, there is no violation if one of the animals, mother or offspring, is a mixed breed. In other words, especially if the mother is a sheep and she had been mated with a goat producing this offspring, which is a half breed. So we see, however, that Oso Vespino does include Kilayim. the Oid, another question, how can the source say what it does? How can the source say that Oso Vismo is Noeg covers Kilayim? Because we have an opposing rule that says where you see the word se, the Ode se ksiv, the Omar Rava, ze bono av kol mokom shnemar se, eino elo lahoitzi ezel kilayim. Wherever you see the word se, we understand that precludes kilayim from being included in the topic. So that we have a little source that says Oso Vesbino is Noig Bikilayim, but the Pasuk of Oso Vesbino makes use of the word, or uses the word Se. It says Vishar Ose Oso Vesbino Sishchad Gmiel Mechon. And the word Se is a word that precludes Kilayim. The Gemara answers Omar Kro Oi Larabois Es HaKilayim. The Pasuk actually says Shor O Se. So the word O includes Kilayim. So that even though Kilayim is not acceptable as a sacrifice, it is included in the Parsha of Oso Vesbino. Before we go further, let's just take note of one of our markings. We have a volcano form that appears, and you'll notice in the next few lines, it's going to be flipping up and down, back and forth. This we entitle or call on the outside margin under the Mivneh heading Ma'akav, an attempt to keep track of the flow, back and forth nature of this discussion. So with the narrow part facing upwards, that represents answers, responses. With the narrow part facing downwards, those are kushios, they pose questions. So you'll see the give and take is illustrated using this marking. So we pointed out that the word oi, this is an answer to the question of how is it that Oso Vesbino includes kilayim. The answer is because the word oi is l'rabois es ha-kilayim. The Gemara asks, hi oi, miboyale l'chalek. But the word o is used up. It's used for telling us that the violation applies on a separate basis. As we will explain, the sakadaitoch amina, without the word oi, I would have thought ad deshachit shor ubeno se ubeno lo mechayev, that until he were to shecht two couples, namely ox and offspring, and lamb and sheep and offspring, if he wouldn't do all of that, he wouldn't be chayev. Komash malon lechalek. Therefore, you need shor oi se. The oi comes to say that one is chayav on each type separately, and not that the violation takes place only if you do, let's say, shecht four animals, oso vesbino of a shor and an oso vesbino of a se as well. So the question right now is, the word oi is used up. It's used up for lechalek. If that be the case, then I don't have a source to include kilayim. The Gemara answers, mi bino nafka. Pasuk says, oso vies bino. The word bino serves to teach us the lechalek aspect. That indicating a singular son, namely a shor and its son, or a sheep and its offspring. You don't need to have both pairs. Question: Va'akati miboyale, but still, I have the word oi is used up. L'chidetanya. You'll notice by way of the markings, we've double underlined this miboyale to give emphasis to the question that the word O is used up for something else. And here we go with this problem. I need the Oi Lichidatanya for that which is taught in the following source. Ilu Nemar, if the Pasuk had said Shor Vise Uveno. Hoyisi Omer ad shishchot shor vise ubeno. I would have thought that there is no violation unless one shechts all three animals, an ox, a sheep, and its offspring. Tamalomar shor oy se oy soy ve espino. So as to not think that the penalty is achieved or violated only if you do shor se and beno, we have the pasuk that says shor oy se oso ve espino my lav may oy nafgale. Is it not so that the distinction is as a result of the presence of the word oy? And if that be the case, so then oy is not available to include kilayim. The Gemara answers loy, may oy soy. This halacha that tells me you're not chayav. In other words, the halacha that with the source that precludes the havamina, that precludes the idea of no violation until you shecht, shor, se, and beno, that is learned from the word oy soy. That being the case, so the word oy is then available to tell me that osos mino is noeg by kilayim. The Gemara asks, though, honicha l'rabbanan demiaser luhu oisoi. This approach works out according to the Rabbanan that the word oisoi is really extra, so I can use the word oisoi for precluding shor, se, and beno. And so oso can be used for that, and oi is available for the kilayim, to include kilayim as being subject to oso vespino. Elo lechananya, who argues with the chachamim, the lo miaser le oso. Later on in the Gemara we will see that the word oso is not an extra word, and he needs that for a drosha that will be seen later. In fact, he needs that for his shita that tells me that osav espino applies to all genders, to mothers and whatever the gen of the offspring is, whether it's a female or a male. And let's be even more accurate, as far as Hananiah is concerned, it includes father as well as mother. Father and offspring is chayav just like mother and offspring. Shechted the same day. So according to Hananya, that oisoi is not available to teach me the preclusion of shechita of shor, se, and beno. So he's going to have to use the word oi for that purpose. And if that be the case, so then I don't have a word available, according to Hananya, to include the kilayim. So the Gemara says, let's read this again. Ela lechananya delo miaser le oisoi lechalek minole. He'll need to use the word oi to create this sense of chiluk. And if that be the case, then there won't be a source for the inclusion of kilayim. The Gemara answers, lechalek lo tzorich kra. Hananya will not need a pasuk for lechalek. The pasuk, even had it read shor viseh, as the pasuk reads shor v'seh oisoi v'espino, I still would not have thought that the violation needs the slaughtering of a shor and a seh and the son of one of them. That's the idea here, that l'chalek lo tzorach kra, to create this sense of distinction, I don't need a pasuk for that. The sovar lo k'reb yoinuson Hananya will learn psukim like Rabbi Yonason learns psukim. That being the case, the oi is available to include kilayim. Desanya. And now the Gemara gives us the background for the shita of Rabbi Yonason, but before we get to him, we will see Rabbi Yoshia. But we want to just emphasize the main point. According to Rabbi Yonasan, when you have psukim that read as that one is chayav if he does to ploni and to ploni, to this and to this, that does not mean automatically that one needs to do whatever is in question to both. Rather, ploni uploni could mean either or, even without a special word to teach distinction and separateness. That's Rabbi Yonasan's approach. So since separateness is self-understood, so to speak, unless you have a special drosha or word that links together, like the word yachdov, otherwise you can understand separateness. And therefore, shor vese oisoi vespeno would not have implied that you have to shecht a shor and a se and beno in order to be in violation. Therefore, the word oi is not necessary for the purpose of lechalek, and is yes available to include kilayim. We have a long answer marking that goes along with this section of Gemara. You can see to the immediate left-hand side of the Gemara text a tuf that's encircled with a descending vertical dashed line, indicating all of these lines are part of this response. Now, let's get into the source itself. The source itself features the sin of one cursing his parents. Is one said to be in violation only if he curses both mother and father? Or is there a prohibition or a restriction even when it comes to one parent? So the Brisa says, Desanya, Ish asher yekalel es oviv ve'es imoi. The pasuk is describing someone who curses mother and father. Ein li ela oviv ve'imo. From this, I would think that there's no violation unless he curses both parents together. Oviv shelo imo, imo ve'imo shelo oviv minayin. From where do I know that one is in violation if he curses one parent, father without mother, or mother without father? Talmud Lomar, in the pasuk just cited, the continuation of the pasuk says, Oviv v'imo kileil. From this we learn, Oviv kileil, imo kileil. Whether he cursed mother, or cursed father, or cursed mother, he is in violation. Divrei Rabbi Yoshia. It's explained, how does one see this in the pasuk? So by taking advantage of the markings, we have dashed underlined the word yekalel and the parent closest to that word. So in the first citation, you see all the word yekalel. It said ish asher yekalel es oviv es imo. The father was closest to the word yekalel. When you look at the end of that pasuk, it says Aviv v'imo kileil. There you see, mother is closest to the word kileil in the pasuk. The fact that there's a change in order and proximity to the word kileil, we see from this special scriptural change that one is in violation if he curses one or the other, and not necessarily both. So as far as Rabbi Yoshia is concerned, you need to have this special scriptural reference to teach me separateness. Rabbi Yonasan Omer, Mashma Shneim Ke'echad U'mashma Echad B'fnei Atzmo. As far as Rabbi Yonasan is concerned, had the Pasuk just written Ish asher yekalel es oviv ve'esimo, even though it says ve'esimo, Rabbi Yonasan doesn't understand that to mean together, but rather each one on its own would have generated the violation of cursing. Rabbi Yonasan says, I don't understand from psukim the concept of being together, ad shiyifrot lo hakosov yachdov. Unless the pasuk uses the word yachdov, which will mean together. So therefore, since Hananya reads psukim like Rabbi Yonasan, and the pasuk, had it said shor vese ubeno, I wouldn't have automatically assumed all three must be shechted in order to be in violation. I would have assumed it's se ubeno alone would have created the violation of osov es beno. Therefore, the word uy is not needed for this idea of lechalek, and it is therefore available for teaching me about kilayim. That kilayim is subject to osov es beno. At this point, the Gemara wants to know where was there a reference to these Tanoim, Hananya, and the Rabbanan. We have a little arrow you can see to the immediate right-hand side of the Gemara text, and this can be aligned with the arrow above, where the Gemara had mentioned that things work out well according to the Rabbanan, but according to Hananya, what are you going to say? And the Gemara stated that in the context of Hananya having used the word oisoi for another drasha, and being that he used the word oso for another drasha, here the Gemara wants to know what is that drasha. My Hananya umay Rabbanan desanya. And here we have a Tanaic source presenting the Rabbanan and Hananya. It says, Oisoi vesbenoi noheg b'nekevois ve'eno noheg b'zecharem. The violation of Oso vesbenoi only involves a mother with its offspring, slaughtered on the same day, but not a father of an animal father and its offspring. Hananya omer noheg b'ein b'zecharem u'b'ein b'nekevois. According to Hananya, there would be a violation of Oso Espino if one slaughters the father animal and its offspring the same day. My Taimo de Rabbonan. And here we have a long answer. This will take us down to the bottom line. From where do the Rabbonan know that Oso Espino does not include the father and offspring slaughtered on the same day? The Sanya. Yochol yehei oisov es beno noheg bein bezecharim ubein benekevos. Should you think that the violation of oso es beno includes fathers with children as well as mothers with children? V'din hu. Logic would tell us no, that fathers are excluded. Logic would tell us this even without a pasuk. Chayav kan v'chayav beim alabonim. There's a violation that we've been dealing with called Oso Vespino. There's another violation that's relevant to the topic of Shiluach HaKein. Shiluach HaKein is a situation where one chances upon a mother bird nesting upon its offspring, its eggs, or its little chicks. One who takes the chicks without sending away the mother is said to be in violation. So there's a chiyuv called of taking the offspring while the mother is present. Ma kishechayav be'aim al habonim b'nekeves v'lo b'schorim. Just like with regard to that particular avera, it applies only to mother birds and not to Zechorim, not to the males. Af kishechayev kan, so too when it comes to oisiv esbeno, b'nekevois velo b'zechorim. So by virtue of comparing violations, we would come to this conclusion on our own that it applies only to mother and offspring, not to father with offspring. Lo, I'm not convinced, says the Brisa. Im amris b'aim al habonim. If you tell me that when it comes to the din of Shiluach HaKein, that it applies only to mothers, that's because there's another restriction in that halacha. Shekein lo asaba mezuman kesheino mezuman. The halacha of sending away the mother applies only to birds that are not in your possession. They're not mezuman, they're not already, let's say, captured birds. They're birds that you chance upon in the wild. So, in the case of Eim Alabonim, there already is this restriction that it doesn't apply across the boards to all bird situations, but it applies only to those that you find in the that you chance upon. Toimar boisav esbino shaosa boi mezuman kishena mezuman. Should I say by osav esbino? There's also a restriction with regard to applying only to mothers when we don't find restrictions with regard to the issue of mezuman. In other words, the violation of osav esbino will apply to animals in your possession as well as animals that are not in your possession. Once you know that it's a parent and offspring, there is a violation. So I see that with regard to osav esbino, it would include more situations than eim alabonim. Therefore, maybe I should include fathers and offspring slaughtered on the same day. Talmud Lomar Oisoi comes along the Torah and it uses the word Oiso, which tells me Echad Velo Shnayim, that Osav Esmano applies only in one of two cases. You have one type of parent and its offspring, not both parents, namely either or. That's not the case. Only one parent will generate the violation if it is shechted with its offspring. Achar shechilek hakosuv, once the posuk creates this limitation, zochisi ledin, I now will be able to invoke the logic that we mentioned above to determine which parent is the one that's included in the violation of osov esbino. Chayev kan v'chayev be'eim al habonim. There is a violation here in Osav Esbino and with regard to Shiluach HaKein. Ma kishechayev eim alabonim b'nekevas lo b'scharim. Just like when it comes to Shiluach HaKein, it applies only to the eim harovetzis alho efrochim. The pasuk uses a term referring to the mother, which is nesting on its eggs, and not to the father. Af kishechayev kan, so too when it comes to Osav Esbino, it will be limited to the shechting of the mother animal and its offspring on the same day, and not father and offspring. The im nafshach lomar, and if you have any problem with that method of conclusion, so bino, the Torah in the parsha of Osav Esbino, it says the word bino, that implies mi shebinoi koruch acharov. It's the parent that will have the child following it all over, following it around. Well, which kind of parent, which gender parent has the child following it? Yotze Zohar She'ein Beno Koruch Acharov. The young offspring of animals will follow their mother. They need the mother for nursing and animal care that mother animals provide. And therefore the offspring demonstrates its beno nature, its child aspect in with regard to the mother, and not so with regard to its father. So from the word beno, I see that the father is excluded. Now that is as far as the Shita of the Rabbanon are concerned, that Osav Esbino applies only with regard to the mother and its offspring. Ulechananya, and according to Chananya, who says that it applies to both parents, how does he derive that? Ksiv Oisoi, here we are at the top of Daf Ayin Tes. It says in the Pasuk Oisoi, the Mashma Zohar, the Pasuk says Oso Vespino, and the word Oso is in the masculine, which would imply father. Uksiv Benoi, which equals Mi Shebenoi Koruch Acharov. The word Beno is a word indicating, or that would, let's say, points to the mother, in the sense that it's the parent of the parent through which you can see the child behavior. Beno, meaning the child, but we're understanding the word beno, where you can see the demonstration of it being the child of. That's the case of a mother. The mashma nekeva. Hilkoch noheg bein bezachorim, bein benekevos. As a result of this, these two words, you have oso and the word beno, this points to both parents, mother and father, as being subject to being part of the violation of oso vesbeno if either parent and the offspring are shefted on the same day. With that, we conclude our shiur for today.